Hey, everybody. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I don't have my tablet. I left it in the room.
He just realized that I was just like...
I feel like I'm going bareback without a condom. Like I don't have protection or something.
I know, right? You need to...
Well, I don't know what the hell's going on in the comment section. I don't even see the comment section.
Well, I can read them to you, though. Okay. Like, I can read them to you. But
I'm going to leave Jen the ultimate responsibility of telling me what the comments are.
Okay.
Because how many people we got in there?
Well, I don't know. I've told you a million times. I can't. There's no count on this.
Oh, you can't see it. No. Oh, there it is. There it is.
I can't see.
There's somebody saying something.
That's Xanada. And Xanada.
Yeah.
That's why it's appropriate that you're the first one here, because you were the one that sent us this movie.
That's right.
And thank you very much for sending these, because I enjoyed this quite a bit. And Tom actually really dug it.
Oh, yeah. Xanada sent this to us through Amazon Prime. It arrived. Hard copy. This if you don't have this movie, all right, you should own this movie. If you like gangster movies, that's up there with. I think it's a little bit better than Scarface, if you ask me. I think it's a little.
Well, I haven't seen Scarface in a long time, so I'm not.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's almost. I like this more better than how I remembered Scarface. I'd have to see it again, but no, I think it's better than Scarface. There's something about it. It's kind of got a. Well, first of all, it's shot really well. The director is fucking really good.
And yeah. I think the cinematographer got some kind of award for this too.
A lot of it's kind of dark with colors. It's got a horror movie fucking vibe to it. Tonally, it's real good. It's kind of dark, even though it has action sequences in it. And I'd seen this before when I in the 90s sometimes, and I didn't remember the action sequences. I remembered this being a movie with a lot of dialogues, kind of like something out of The Godfather. But no, it has good action in it.
Man, so many people get shot in this movie.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah, it's good. it's got chase scenes, a lot of cool guns. A lot of cool 90s guns.
Yeah, you said you were going to check the gun database,
yeah.
movie gun database.
Yeah, to check them all. I really kind of didn't have to. It was fucking, looked like a chrome. I don't think it was stainless. It looked like a chromed Browning high power with target sights on it, Pac-Mark grips. That's what... Christopher Walken was carried. His last name was White, right? Was his name?
Yeah, Frank White.
Frank White, yeah. He's a great character in it. He had that. They get attacked by some cops that were dressed up as bad guys. They tried to dress themselves up as criminals, but they were actually cops. They attacked them with a bunch of fucking custom AR-15s. That was pretty good. Short-barreled AR-15s, like XM-177 styles. Guns. And just cool guns. Cool guns, you know. The old school cop had it down, 5-shot Smith & Wesson, fucking .38 special revolver, you know, J-frame. Just good, you know, appropriate guns for the time and the story. It's in New York, so you don't see a lot of exotic shit, but when the cops show up and pretended to be a gang, they had good shit, fucking AR-15s and stuff. Just and the story's good, and... The interior shots are good. It's almost kind of like it has like a old fucking Batman feel to it or something, too.
Chang Lek had a quote from the movie. They're for the bullet holes, puta.
Yeah, yeah.
The suitcase full of tampons. Yeah. That was fucking great.
All-star cast.
Holy shit. I don't think that I ever saw this movie, because Richard Brown points out, yeah, this is Abel Ferreira. And the thing about it is that I had kind of heard of this movie, but I don't think I'd ever seen it. And then when it first started, we were watching it last night, and Tom's like, wow, this movie looks fantastic. And I was like, look at this fucking cast, man. Holy crap. It's like Christopher Walken and Lawrence Fishburne and Wesley Snipes and Steve Buscemi. And like, there's just all these really big, like David Caruso is in it.
Yeah.
This was back in 1990, this came out. And then, like, he's like, ooh, I'm really digging this movie already. And then director came up, I was like, oh, it's Abel Ferreira. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he made Ms. 45, which is probably my favorite movie of his, which we reviewed probably a couple years ago. He also did The Driller Killer, which I reviewed on Flickers of Fear probably a few months back. And after this movie, he made Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel.
I remember seeing it and liking
which
it.
Which I really liked a lot. I've been wanting to review.
Review
that actually, because we haven't done that one yet.
Yeah.
Abel Ferreira is kind of like, he's kind of like scuzzy Scorsese, you know what I mean? He's like, because he's like the quintessential like scuzzy New York filmmaker.
If y'all want us to do Bad Lieutenant, you send us a Blu-ray, we'll move it to the front of the line. I remember liking it. when I saw it when it came out. I remember liking it, but I forgot everything about the movie except the fucking famous scene of Harvey Keitel as a cop pulling over the fucking two teenage girls in the fucking car, making them fucking do kinky shit while he's beating it. Yeah, right. On the side of the road. That was some fucking, that was a wild scene. I remember that. The other shit I didn't really, I
kind of, we definitely forgot. Need to do that movie. Yeah,
I, I saw this movie and I forgot everything about it, or I only saw a piece of this movie because it seemed brand new and I was watching it. I was like, some of it seemed familiar, certain scenes, but another shit I didn't remember at all. So it could be that I only saw pieces of this movie. It came out in 1990. Mm-hmm. I would have been in the service during the time that I saw this. So this might have been something that they were playing in a rec room that I got to see a little bit of it, but then they called me out to go do something else. But seeing it in its entirety on Blu-ray and a big fucking HD television, it's like an old school movie experience. They don't make movies like this anymore.
And I think, as far as I'm aware, I think this only cost $5 million to make.
Yeah.
Which, only $5
million. Is that it's $5
million? Yeah, and it's only $5
million. You never know.
Which, but that was a big budget for Abel Ferreira, you know what I mean? But I think he went on later to do, like, some more. And he went into TV and stuff as well, but...
Yeah. And what was the trip is, before this movie started, the Blu-ray had a bunch of trailers on it.
Yeah.
And they had a Jason Statham flick, man, playing. I said, oh, I gotta see that. What was the name of that movie?
Crank. And it's weird because we saw the trailer for that, and I was like, this is so weird. I was like, this is like some weird synchronicity or something. I was like, I was just reading an article about a completely unrelated movie, and somebody in the comments mentioned that movie, Crank, and I had never seen it, and it was just really weird that, like, literally the next day we saw, like, a trailer for it, like, on another completely unrelated movie.
Yeah,
so I thought
that
was very
too.
Strange.
It looked good.
That looked like a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. Somehow... Jason Statham, his character, gets poisoned, and he's got to keep his
adrenaline up,
running. I think he's working for an organized crime.
It's kind of like Speed if, like, Jason Statham was the bus.
Yeah. He can't stop getting in trouble or having danger, he'll die. So he's got to get into all this.
That sounds like your fantasy.
Yeah, man. Sounds like me on fucking tread. Fucking, you know.
Yeah,
like, come
said,
on, Jen, can't we go to the Dater's Bar? Can't we go to the Dater's Bar? I want to get more fights. Come on.
Yeah. He's going to be jumping out of airplanes and shit like that.
Yeah.
Xanada said, Crank is great. I'll have to send that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was like, oh, man, I need to see this.
I want to see Bad Lieutenant, too. So if we get somebody to send us Bad Lieutenant, I'm going to do that one, too.
And Tammy said, oh, yeah, I remember Crank. Really good movie. It looked like a lot of fun.
It looked good, man. It looked real good.
It looked like a lot of fun. Well, it's really, I think it's because this, the DVD or the Blu-ray of King of New York came out in 2012. So I think that's why we were seeing mostly, previews for movies that came out from, like, 2007 to 2012. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because this movie is old. This movie
Xanada sent Fargo. That shit was fucking fire. That was good. And then he sent this one. This is fuckers.
I thought Louis sent Fargo.
Oh, was it Louis sent Fargo? I thought Xanada sent Fargo. No, Xanada sent Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Because he lived up up north where that was... he lived up where that was filmed. So he wanted to see it. But he said that was his
Louis sent Training Day. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We got them both, like, around the same time.
So. Yeah. I think Xanada also sent, was it No Country for Old Men? I think he sent that, too.
Back because I had been wanting to do that movie for a long time.
I think
I
he
love
sent
that
long. I think he sent that one a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he said I sent Fargo and No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he sent this one. This one fucking knocked it out of the park. This is a great flick. This is, out of the three that he sent, I like this one the best, even though they were all excellent movies. This one, I got it. This one takes
Yeah, this is definitely right up your, right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's got some good gangster morality in there. About, yeah, that's what you should do. You know what I mean? Fucking, on that situation.
Well, that's, like, Christopher Walken, the thing about, and a lot of Abel Ferreira, Ferreira movies are like this, where the, you know, the morality is just very gray.
Yeah.
And Christopher Walken, he's not the good guy, but he's not the worst dude in it. You know what I mean?
He's a better gangster.
He's, you know, he's obviously a gangster and he kills people in cold blood and shit like that. Or he has people killed in cold blood.
They deserve it, though.
But, yeah, and he even kind of says that toward the end. So it's kind of like, I'm, you know, the cops don't want to hear it, obviously.
Yeah.
But he does actually have, I mean, at the beginning of the movie, he gets out of prison. I don't think they say how long he was in jail. He said it was half his life. So I'm presuming it
About
was a 20 very,
years, probably
so
15,
I'm presuming 20 years. It was a very long time.
Yeah.
But when he comes out, he's still got presumably like all his money, and his gang is still there, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
well, he
wants to get back
half
into
his
it.
Life in prison didn't mean that that stretch was half of his life.
That's you what know, I was thinking.
Five and another five and a ten. You know,
that's what I was thinking. I didn't think that it had been like half his life just this time around, because I said some of those people in his gang, like, you
still
know,
remembered him. Yeah, never still
wouldn't. Young. Yeah, wouldn't have been around like if he had been in prison that long.
No. Fishburne kind of co-stars in this flick.
Yeah.
All right.
And this was one of his very early, because he's pretty young.
Yeah, he's pretty young. And a lot of guys didn't know that he was in Apocalypse Now, too. He was clean. The young kid who gets...
That's right.
Who was the machine gunner
who
gets
killed.
Yeah,
I think we mentioned that on the...
Yeah, that's really Lawrence Fishburne's first role that I know of.
He went by Larry Fishburne. Actually, he went by Larry Fishburne in this movie, too. Okay. Like, he changed it later.
Lawrence is kind of cooler.
It is cooler. It sounds like a lot cooler.
But he does a great job. He really shines in this. So does Snipes. Snipes fucking does a good job in this, too. But I think out of the two, they both did a great job. But Lawrence Fishburne fucking shines in this one.
Jimmy Jump, that's the name of his character.
Yeah, and he's a supporting character. But he's a major supporting character. Yeah. He's kind of like the other good guy on the in the gangs. And he's a gangster. But he's kind of like Christopher Walken's character's right-hand man.
Yeah.
He's fucking White's... What was his first name again? Fucking
Frank White.
Frank White. Yeah, he's Frank White's, like, right-hand man. And it just cool shit happens in the flick. You just gotta see it. And White does have some redeeming qualities. I mean, his part of New York is falling apart, and they're shutting the hospital down.
Yeah, I think they said it's South Bronx.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of like a free hospital. And one of the things that he's doing with his money is he wants to fund that hospital to keep it open.
Yeah.
Because just poor people go there.
He's trying to, like, go legitimate.
Right,
and he does seem to have, like I said, he does seem to have, like, a moral code, because one of the reasons that he wipes... Because when he gets out of jail and he reconnects with his gang and he's still got all his money because he's essentially, you know, very wealthy and kind of hobnobs with the elite and whatnot... is that he immediately starts wiping out rival gangs. Well, at first he gives them, like, an opportunity to, like, join him or let him get in on the shit, like, in on the action, whatever big drug deals are doing or whatever. But if they refuse, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to, like, fucking rub you out and all of your people unless you want to join me. So he starts doing that, which obviously is good because it eliminates the competition. But also he says later on that he's like, you know, a lot of those dudes were doing not only just drug trafficking and stuff like that, but we're also human trafficking, like, we're
pimping out
13-year-old girls, shit like that. So it's like, you know, and he's like, and I don't want people to, he's a criminal too, but he's like, I'm not going to make money that way.
Yeah.
You know, selling drugs, okay, but he's not going to be doing, like, human trafficking.
He said, that's not my problem.
Right.
This drug problem. That's your guys' problem.
Right, the cops, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He was saying that America was asking for these drugs, so that's not his problem. That's their problem. There were customers.
Yeah, I mean, there was a demand there.
There's a demand.
So he's just supplying
the demand.
It
wasn't him, but no, it's a good flick. It's a real good flick. Yeah, he goes out and wipes out. Well, the criminals that had taken over his area, he does try to get them to come on board, and when they don't, he just wipes them out.
Yeah, he makes them an offer, like, hey, I want to be in.
And he doesn't wipe out all their men, though.
Yeah.
Like, one dude, he just said something sideways to him at a table and turned right around, just instantly killed him. Bam! And he goes, hey, you guys are sick of wasting your money following pieces of shit like this, and just kind of meet me at the hotel over here, and, you know, we'll set all this right. And dudes were just like, oh, okay, you know, but I don't think
that was Italian mafia, I think. And then
I don't
he also
think those
killed,
guys
like, the
joined up with him, but I don't think they went after him either,
right?
Because I never saw that guy again. Or no, did they join?
Oh, they might have, you know,
because they might have been in that hideout where they were keeping the drugs that they stole from the Chinese guys,
right?
Yeah.
That was, and he also wiped out a bunch of the triad dudes.
Yeah, the Chinese guys, he killed them off.
Yeah.
They wouldn't, I forgot what it was that they wouldn't do. They wouldn't let him distribute, I think is what it was.
When right.
He wanted to distribute the stuff, they wouldn't let him do it, so he just killed them and took their shit.
Yeah, it's funny because Zachary, as soon as you said Wear your big glasses, Jenny. You look different without them. I only just realized that I didn't have the big glasses on. They're right there.
Yeah.
Well, I had the littler ones on because
the
I don't.
The big glasses are a hit, man.
I don't usually wear the big ones just around.
I like these, but they don't magnify. These are my favorite.
Yeah, I can't see in those.
Yeah, just show them those. Yeah, those are cute.
Well, yeah, I can see in
show these. Show them these. These are actually my favorite ones, but they're not magnifying.
Yeah, like I said, I can't see in these because they're just.
I want to get her something.
They're
like
just
those
glass
that magnify.
Those are cuter. See, everything's just blurry.
Yeah, I think those are cuter.
But what I was saying was that I don't wear the big ones just around because they tend to like slide down my nose and stuff like that. Like, so I don't like to wear them like for long periods of time.
I can adjust all that.
But you know, so I had the littler ones on, and I totally forgot, like, what? And I just realized it, like, a second before I read your comment, which I thought was, like, really funny. Xanada said, I love when Fishburne and Snipes get in the shootout, and Fishburne laughs like a maniac after being shot. That is fucking great. He was a real psychopath, yeah. And the limo scene at the funeral is a classic as well. I honestly was not expecting that. So I really liked that scene. I also really liked the scene where there was, like, that car chase. And it was the, the cops that were, it wasn't all the cops, it was David Caruso and Wesley Snipes and a couple of the other dudes. And they said, you know, we're going to pretend to be a rival gang, essentially, and take Frank White out because obviously he's just using his lawyer and using his money and stuff like that to get away with shit. And they were like a little bit resentful about it. So they do that. And then like this whole car chase ensues. And one of the dudes who, man, the actor was, like, so familiar, and I just couldn't, like, fucking place him. But he was the dude that got married, like, early on in the movie. And he was hanging on the side of the car, like, while they were, and they just ran him into a fucking fire hydrant, and it was, like, smush. And I was just kind of like, fuck, man. Ugh, just, like, the thought of it was, like, and then he's, like, he's all fucked up and broken, like, on the shit. But yeah, so David Caruso gets his fucking head blown off like at a funeral, which I was not expecting that at all. But he was like such a douche in this movie, David Caruso. Mm-hmm. Like you can understand both sides of it. Yeah, the cops are going to be mad because it's like, dude, like obviously this dude is a criminal and they're trying to
doing their jobs.
Catch him. Yeah. And it's like, and it was frustrating for them because, you know, they'd get him on something or they, you know, they arrested like Lawrence Fishburne's character and were trying to get him to roll over and stuff like that. But they just went and got him out. And so they're like, look, the dude is just laughing at us and just walking all and just getting away with all this crap. And meanwhile,
his girlfriend was a good attorney.
Yeah.
And it was his main lawyer. And he had a lot of money. I don't really explain where he got his money from. I guess he had it stashed. But when he gets out of prison, he's already got money.
Yeah.
And so guys on his team would get arrested for murder and stuff, and they get bonded right back out. He'd be on the street the next day, and they could fight stuff. So, you know.
Yeah.
They're just doing what organized criminals do.
Right. I mean, you have that kind of money and those kind of connections. Because it was kind of hinted, too, that he had, like, larger political connections, right? Because there was that, like, at the beginning, he was going to that dinner with some of those people that I was presuming were kind of powerful.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
They keep a lot of stuff vague in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, where his money came from.
Yeah. I mean, I'm presuming because he was so well-known that, you know, he'd been, like, a big drug kingpin prior to him going to prison, so...
He had it all hidden.
He had it all hidden somewhere. Yeah. Or, like I said, he maybe put it in... You know, they have all kind of ways around that where you can, like, put it in some kind of trust or some kind of thing. It's like maybe his girlfriend or the woman he was fucking, I don't really know if you'd call her girlfriend, but...
It was his girlfriend.
Yeah, she was...
There's a little romance going on. They just don't really introduce that character. They don't give her much to do.
She's
just kind of like a... accessory.
Yeah, she was like an attorney, and she was based, so I guess she knew all the legal loopholes and all that other kind of crap, like the way to keep him out of, well, she obviously didn't keep him out of prison because he went to prison, but like where his money went and stuff like that, and when it's able to, you know, get everybody else out when they were in trouble. Grantham says Christopher Walken was on the sailboat when Natalie Wood died near Catalina Island. Yeah, that's right. I think we did a show, we didn't do a show just about Natalie Wood, but I think we did a show about like Hollywood, you know, messed up stories from Hollywood, and I think we talked about that on there. But yeah, Christopher Walken was on the boat.
And Anthony Perkins were best friends. They grew up together in a circus, evidently.
Anthony Perkins, as in
from Psycho.
Psycho. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes I get confused.
Yeah, their parents were carnies or something.
Right. Really? I didn't really.
When they were kids.
I'm gonna have to look more into that. That's actually pretty interesting. Christopher Walken, I mean, this, he'd been in a bunch of movies prior to this, obviously. He'd been in, you know, he was in The Deer Hunter. Didn't he get, like, an Oscar nomination for that? Or am I thinking of something else?
I think there was some Oscars.
The Deer Hunter was really good, which that's another movie we haven't done, I don't think. And, you know, obviously he was in The Dead Zone, and he was in some other stuff, too. But this, I kind of feel like this movie was almost like peak Walken. You know what I mean? Maybe. Yeah. That's kind of hard to say because he's such a distinctive...
I don't know, man. He, some of the roles that he can do, they're pretty... Like, he in Dogs of War, that was another good movie. He played a mercenary. He does a lot of yelling in Dogs of War. He's kind of like the most unsoldierly mercenary I've ever seen, but it's a good character, though.
Yeah, he can get away with it just because he's so...
He's weird. He's
weird.
Yeah.
But he's weird in, like, a really appealing kind of way. He can just totally get away with anything. So like, you know, the fucking weird, like, kind of hip-hop dancing he does in this. And...
Yeah.
Which I have to say, this was nice.
How dare you?
Yeah, and getting anal probed, you know, by aliens and whatnot.
By a fucking Electrolux vacuum cleaner hose coming out of the wall.
Yeah, we're going to suck that right out of there. But that's the thing.
What does it suck out? Nobody knows. It's just because
there's whatever's in there. Whatever's in there. It's just
weird shit, man.
It's sucking some stuff out of your ass.
What was that movie about? What were they thinking when they made it?
We were wondering that last night, too, because every time we see someone with Christopher Walken in it, we can't help but, like, think about Communion, because we were just like, what the fuck was up with that movie? That was, like, the weirdest fucking movie ever. It's not, like, the weirdest movie ever, but it's just tonally, it was just kind of very strange. It was, like, all over the place.
I think they were trolling us.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or at least I don't think the director was trolling us, but I definitely think Christopher Walken was.
Yeah, he was trolling you through the movie.
That's what I think made the whole thing so strange,
I think
the director was taking it seriously, and Christopher Walken was absolutely not, but the director was too clueless to know that Christopher Walken was, like, making was a joke out of it. That's kind of the impression I got. Yeah. I'm not really sure if that's what happened. But, Cheng said his guys gave him that briefcase full of cash when he got out. Oh, okay, see, I had totally forgotten about that, about that. Did I was paying attention. How did I miss that?
So he had it stashed somewhere.
I wasn't that drunk.
So they had it stashed somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Wasn't Christopher Walken a child model? Oh, I don't know. Now that you mention it, I thought I heard somebody say about that. I don't really know about that. And Zach said he won for that movie. The Deer Hunter, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Xanada says, my dad says you guys would like At Close Range with Sean Penn and Christopher Walken. I remember liking that movie, but I only saw it once, and it was like a long time ago. Probably only like a year or two after it came out.
Funny thing is I've heard from people who know Christopher Walken. What's his next? His best friend is like Belker, I think. His name is, he's like a comedian.
Richard Belzer?
Yeah, Belzer. That's Richard Belzer.
How did I pull that out of my head?
Yeah. And fucking, he would tell stories about Christopher Walken. And Christopher Walken's kind of... kind of dumb, evidently. He's evidently kind of shallow and goofy. He's not real serious like he comes off in the movies. He's supposed to be kind of,
I don't know,
dumb.
I think he comes off as like a weird combination of serious and goofy at the same time. Because he does some goofy shit in this movie too, like the weird dances that he does and all that kind of shit, and like some of the stuff that he says. But then like he's also like in other scenes he's like really really cold and really scary. Yeah.
Belzer likes him, fucking hangs out with them. They're like best buddies, but he just says he tries to tell him something deep, you know, certain ideas, and he can't absorb anything very deep. He's very superficial. He doesn't care about anything.
He's just like, he's just like smooth as a frozen lake in Minnesota. Yeah, it just bounces right off and just goes sliding.
He doesn't give a shit about anything.
Zach says, oh, Richard Belzer, he died, like, last week, actually. Did he really?
Oh, did he? All right.
Holy shit. I always thought he was, like, really funny.
They hung out, evidently.
Yeah.
They were, like, best buds.
Yeah.
Enough where Belzer could make fun of him.
Right.
You know.
I feel like Christopher Walken probably has a pretty good sense of humor about himself.
Yeah, he said he's fucking funny, that he's fun to hang
out with. You probably have to, like, because he's an airhead, I'm sure. He's a fucking riot. He seems like he'd be a fucking riot.
He said he's funny, but he's kind of like an airhead. He doesn't want to know anything deep or anything complicated. You know,
like, so you just, like, go out and have a good time.
Yeah. He's trying to talk politics to him, and he goes, he doesn't give a shit about anything.
Well, I understand that.
But you know, you couldn't talk science or technology or ideas. And no, pizza. You know, he's like,
maybe it's not so much being dumb. It's just like I don't even want to get involved with that kind of situation. I just want to have a good time and enjoy my life.
I don't want to get
So that's not necessarily being dumb.
Might be a smart way.
That's what I'm saying. He sounds pretty smart to me.
Yeah, just ignore it all.
See, I said I love the dances he does in this movie, right? I mean, they're so fucking funny. I was going to say that, so this movie came out in 1990. It wasn't the first movie, but I kind of feel like this was one of the first movies to feature, like, an almost all hip-hop soundtrack. Because this was, like, 1990. That was a long time ago. And that wasn't really something. Because this was before, like, New Jack City and all that kind of stuff, like, that came out in the, you know, in the early to mid-90s when it became, like, kind of a big thing. So this was one of the... I don't think this was the first one to do it, but it was one of
the... hip-hop, old retro...
Right.
But you don't notice it because it's just incidental music mostly. It's just the music they're playing at the parties in the background and what's in the car and, you know, it fits. It's not like it's been shoehorned in there, you know?
Yeah, it's very much like a tonally like totally of a piece with the movie. Well, because that's what kind of like a lot of his gang are.
Yeah, most of his gang are black guys.
And the thing, I kind of feel like too, in the even though this movie, it got like pretty okay reviews like when it came out, but I don't think it did like all that well. You know, I think it made money, but not really all that much. And it sort of got, like, forgotten about. But for some reason, it has, like, a big following. It's, like, in hip-hop. Like, it's been sampled, like, in a lot of songs and stuff like that. Because... And I was even watching earlier, like, this one channel. It was, like, what is it? Hood Movies or something like that. And that guy was talking about... Although he didn't really like it all that much. But I do think that a lot of hip-hop artists and stuff like that are really, like, into this movie and, like, sampled it and stuff. That's what I
heard. Well, the tone of this movie's good. It's just it's got a good, dark tone.
It's like a neo-noir.
Almost, and they're living in these hideouts that are, on the outside, look like damn gothic ruins, and then you go inside and it's kind of like an Italian gangster palace, kind of
like super opulent.
Opulent looking, but it's like dark, you know, almost candlelight lit. And just fire and stuff. There may not be electricity in these things. I don't know, but they're opulent.
Yeah, they might be like squat. Well, I think it's interesting because, well, Christopher Walken's character, I mean, like I said, he's hobnobbing with like the elite. So he's like up in these like super fancy like suites and everything like that. Yeah. But everybody else is just kind of in these
hideouts,
decadent looking sort of, like I said, they may be squatting, but it kind of looks like faded splendor.
Yeah, it looks like something out of Batman. Or like Blade Runner, but more like Batman, actually.
Right.
And, you know, like they're up on the roof, you know, overlooking the city and looks like fucking stone walls next to them and fucking ancient looking building, you know, with canopy beds and fucking chandeliers and shit.
Yeah, like some Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, like
shit.
Some out of Interview with the Vampire. Yeah. And they got all these drugs down in big old fucking barrels and stuff down in the basement.
Yeah, because when that dude was talking about all the drugs that he had, I'm like, oh, sure. And I was like, oh, okay. It's, you know, that's fair. He really does have a lot of drugs in there. Just barrels and barrels of the shit.
Yeah, and they got all these like high-end hookers following them around and walking around half-nude, fucking having sex with them all. It's pretty cool. You know, gangster shit.
Gangster shit.
Gangster shit, yeah.
And they shot, I mean, Abel Ferreira, like, as he usually does, he shot almost all of this, like, just in and around New York. So it's not, I think the only thing that was a set was the Chinatown shootout. I guess he couldn't really get permission to shoot there, or for whatever reason they couldn't shoot there. So I think they built a set there. And you can, not going to lie, you can tell it's a set because it looks a little bit artificial. But the rest of it was filmed all around. And I particularly like that shot because you even made a comment too, like where they're filming Christopher Walken, like near the end of the movie, like walking out of the subway.
Yeah,
like just from like between the bars, and it's like a really, really good shot, like one of the last shots of the movie.
I was saying that it kind of reminded me visually of Batman, like the old Batman, but actually I'm wrong. What it really reminds me of now that I think about it is more like The Crow. Visually it kind of reminded me of The Crow, the first one.
Yeah.
It's just shot really well.
Well, you know, like I said, Abel Ferreira is kind of known for, I mean, if you see Driller Killer, which was one of his real early films, I think he started out kind of more in porn. Mm-hmm. Like, he made a movie called Nine Lives of a Wet Pussy or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which, you probably like that.
Killing it.
Like, prior to... I don't remember when he made that, but I've never seen it. But Driller Killer, which he actually also starred in, was... They just shot it in these, like, the scuzziest, like, New York, you know, apartments, like, imaginable. Might have been his own apartment, not entirely sure. But, you know, everybody's just, like, drug addicts and scuzzy punk bands and, you know... crappy, grotty clubs with disgusting bathrooms and, like, all this other kind of stuff. Like, back in the heyday, like, when New York all looked like that. So, this has a little bit of that. It's a little bit slicker, you know what I mean? Because it's 1990, and he had, like, a bigger budget, I guess. So, it's not quite as guerrilla and, you know, low rent as some of his early stuff was.
Looks like an expensive movie to me.
But, yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, this is one of the more expensive movies that he made.
Yeah.
Because if you see, like I said, if you see Driller Killer, it looks like it was made for, like, you know, $100. Yeah. But it's still a great movie, though. It's not really what the thing about Driller Killer, and I talked about this on my other thing, is that I think a lot of people think of it as a horror movie, which it kind of is, because it's, you know, he's going around killing people with a drill, obviously. But it's kind of more like a dark psychological, like, character study, more than a straight horror movie. Like, they marketed it like a slasher, but it's not a slasher movie. Not at all. It's kind of like, and so I kind of feel like he's really into exploring these, just the seedy underbelly of the city and all these people that are kind of, like, lurking around down there and their gray morality and stuff, which this one has a lot of as well, like I said, because nobody in this is a good person. There's not a single, but, you know, but nobody is entirely evil either, really. Like, some of the cops are good, some of the cops are terrible, some of the gangsters are cold-blooded and terrible, but some of them have redeeming qualities. You know what I mean? It's just like, Richard Brown said, have you seen Abel Ferrara's Body Snatchers movie? I haven't yet, and I wanted to because we were talking about the original, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like the one from whenever the 50s or whatever that came out, and then the Philip Kaufman one that came out in the 70s, which is, like, my favorite.
That's pretty good too. Yeah.
And I really like that version, like, because there's been a bunch of versions of it made, and they made another one, I think, with Nicole Kidman, like, in the 2000s. It was just called Invasion, but I haven't seen that one either. But I had forgotten that Abel Ferrara made a version of it too, like, in the 90s, and I've heard it's actually, like, really good, but I haven't seen it yet. But that's one that I want to get around to. Danny Rowling said Frank White goes out in this film the same way as Tom Cruise goes out in Collateral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, even though he seemed like he was legitimately trying to help out the community, but it still, like, didn't really help him in the end. You know what I mean? He just still kind of died alone. So, but, you know, it's just one of those kind of bleak, bleak New York movies.
Well, it's kind of just a gangster movie. That's kind of the way a lot of them
are. Yeah. Xanada said, you never really know if Frank White is helping out the black people in his gang or exploiting them. They all seem to love him, though. Yeah, I mean, he does really seem to garner a lot of loyalty. They all waited for him to get out, like, however long he was in there.
And he's helping them. It's just that was their job.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
That's the life that
they knew.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is really great in this, too. I guess you could say, because I will say that his character is very, I don't know, very, but it's pretty over the top, and it's kind of like your stereotypical 90s black gangster, you know what I mean? But he pulls it off. It doesn't really come across like a caricature or anything like that. He actually comes across like a really good character.
Well, he was moving up in the world.
Yeah.
Making money.
Yeah.
You know, and getting power, running the gang. You know, he was basically the lieutenant.
And even though he was kind of a psycho, he still had a good side, too. Because remember, there was that one scene in the place where he was ordering the food and he gave those little kids, like, money to play the video games because they didn't have any.
And his nemesis was Wesley Snipes, who was the black guy who was the cop. So, you know, they didn't like each other. They were on different sides of the law. But they were kind of equivalents of one another.
Yeah.
So they killed each other, basically. Yeah, it's a good movie.
I really did actually like that scene. Because that was just so funny, like, when he gets shot and he's just laying there, like, laughing like a fucking hyena. Just hysterical.
They kind of neutralized each other.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing happened with Christopher Walken and the older cop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because cop was kind of like, he wanted to keep things, like, above board.
Yeah.
Like, and get Christopher Walken, like, the right way, like, going through legal means.
He was the honest one.
Whereas the other cops were like, man, we're just going to dress up like rival gang members and just go take him out.
Yeah, so I guess they were equivalents, too.
Right.
They were mirror images.
Yeah.
Each other.
So, so when you think about it, like, each character had, like, a mirror equivalent, like, on the other side of the law, kind of.
Each other out.
Right. Which
if
actually,
you go back there and see it again, that might have happened more than once.
Right.
because henchmen were killing it, cops and henchmen were killing each other, and they were kind of like neutralizing each other.
Yeah.
So there might have been some symbolism there.
Yeah, I think there was a lot more going on than you know. So this is this would definitely need a second watch. Right. I feel like. Danny Rowling said it would be epic if you two reviewed 2005's House of Wax. I actually would like to do that. That's the one with Paris Hilton, right? Which I remember that being a good movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. Yeah. But I remember it being pretty fun. Zach said, I saw your Shallow Grave video earlier, too. God, I love that movie. I'm so glad that other people have seen that movie. Because I feel like I talked about it like before in the 90s and the 2000s, and a lot of people hadn't seen it. Even though a lot of people saw Trainspotting and like Danny Boyle's other stuff, like 28 Days Later and everything, but a lot of people haven't seen Shallow Grave for some reason. And I really, really liked it. Even though it was one of Ewan McGregor's like first movies, man. He was like a kid in that. Cheng said they probably ran together since they were kids. It's usually that way in real life, like about the characters, I mean. Mm-hmm. Have you reviewed American Gangster? I don't think we have we?
Never heard of it. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's right.
I've heard of it, but never seen it.
It's weird because I thought, did somebody send us that?
No.
What am I thinking of?
Probably thinking of Collateral.
No. Shit,
no,
man.
One sent us American
what
Gangster.
Am I thinking of? Danny Rowling said this film is better than American Gangster. And then it also says about House of Wax. Yeah, Paris is in it and loosely based on Waxworks Tourist Trap and the original House of Wax. Yeah, I'm there. I like all of those kind of like wax museum
movies. If a movie gets sent to us, we review it. It goes to the front of the line, and you can contact Jenny through probably Instagram or
Facebook
or Facebook, whatever. And get the mailing address, and you can send it to us. And like Xanada, he sent it through Amazon Prime. It was here like the next day.
Yeah.
Just give it a different delivery address on it. Boom. It'll be here.
Oh, and Hugo is here too. I don't know if you sent me, because I asked you for... Hugo's the one we're doing the Plissken shirt for. Yeah. So just...
I
gave you the PayPal, and I just need your mailing address, and we can get it put out. Danny Rowling said, if I sent you the complete series of Knight Rider, would you review it? how long is that series? I don't remember how long it was on. I mean, it might take us a while to get to it, but I'd be down. I'd be down. We're going to have to, because Celtic Angel 73 also sent us.
Got
Bates Motel. Yeah. So we'll do a review of that too, like whenever we're finished watching it. But like I said, I'm finished episode 12. And then I have to get into the other stuff too. So I still have like a little while to go on it.
Should we review Bates by season? Or just
maybe we should, because it would probably
be hard.
Because otherwise, it would like take a long time to kind of. Right. Yeah, maybe we should do that. Because
we're done with season one.
Yeah, I got through the first disc.
Yeah.
Because each disc has, I think, like three, or each box has like three discs in it, and it's like one season. So that was like the first 12, and I got through that. Good. So, yeah, maybe we should do that. All right. And like I said, we still have to do Breakfast Club because Louis sent us that a long time ago.
That way, if someone sends us an entire series of something, that's a lot of DVDs.
Right.
And they tend to be more expensive. So if they send us the series and we review the series, they get more than one video.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. And it'll be easier for us, too, because...
Keeping track of all that.
Keeping track of it. It's much easier to just talk about, like, one season at a time rather than, like, eight, you know, 12, 50 hours or something.
Sometimes they're not consistent season to season. Some season's better than others, so maybe it'd be better to do it that way.
Danny Rowling said Robert Englund plays the Phantom of the Opera in a movie studio in an episode of Knight Rider, which is sick. I kind of vaguely remember that because I remember being kind of excited about it. But it's like, I don't remember many details about it, but when you mentioned it, yeah, I do remember that. But it's funny because Tom and Xanada were talking, were messaging back and forth while we were watching the movie last night. And I think that he thought that maybe I wouldn't like the movie, that you would like it. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as I saw that it was Abel Ferrara, I was like, oh, I really like Abel Ferrara. But I had never seen this one. So... You know, I
was like, oh, she knows him?
Yeah. And so, like I said, I've only seen, like, his old shit. Like, the most recent movie of his he's seen, I think, is Bad Lieutenant. Yeah. Unless he has done one that I didn't know that was him. But, like I said, Ms. 45 is still my favorite. But I've seen that movie a bunch of times. That's, like, my favorite rape revenge movie for sure. What's tomorrow's A Haunting episode going to be? I think we're going to do another season 5. We're going to do Nightmare in Bridgeport.
Okay.
Which, that was the one that I made the card for. That was just, like, the next one in the rotation that we haven't done yet. So season 5. So that's what we got to watch tonight. So that's what's going to be on there tomorrow. Or do you have anything else you would like to add? No. All right. So again, thank you very much, Xanada, for sending us this movie, because we probably wouldn't have got around to it.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
10
yeah.
out of 10.
Tom loved the shit. Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah. It's a great movie. Super, super violent.
Yeah.
Really good gangster movie. And Christopher,
good dialogue, good
Christopher
action.
Walken is always fun to watch. Yeah. And, you know, great cast. I kind of wish Steve Buscemi had been in it more, but I guess this was like an early...
Yeah.
You know, he's only in a couple of scenes.
He's being himself. He's playing himself.
He's being his Buscemiist.
Yeah, right.
I love Steve Buscemi. He's so awesome. But yeah. So yeah, thank you very much for sending this. This was a great movie. So, you know. So yeah, tomorrow we're going to be doing a haunting show at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So hopefully you guys can come by and hang out with us for that. So yeah, have a good rest of your weekend and evening, you guys. And we will see you again tomorrow. Bye.